Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
There is a day of salvation. There is a time when I will hear you and when I will reach out to you. Thank God that He's patient, isn't He? You ever wondered why in the world God just puts up with this? You read the stuff every single day that goes on, and it's incredible what the things that are happening every single day in our world. It just reveals what's going on, reveals the things the Lord showed us so many years ago, but the devil being loose as never before. Well, he is, and we're seeing the fruit of it in lives. But you know, the most dangerous thing possibly, probably, is when people do rationalize and they feel like they can come up with a way to do what their flesh wants them to do and still serve Jesus. I thank God that we do have a remnant of brothers and sisters that are scattered throughout this land and throughout the world. Probably a whole lot more than we could imagine if you got them all in one place. But how many of you think that everybody that's going to church and singing Amazing Grace this morning really knows what we're talking about? How many of them are doing what the rich young ruler wanted to do? And, I'll bring my money. Look at all the good we can do. I can serve Jesus and use all this, and it's going to be so good. But the problem is, that's where his heart was. And how many people come into that place of choice and of decision, and it's not everything laid on the altar? Does not the Word of God say that we're bought with a price? Yes. We're to glorify God in our bodies and spirits, which are what? They're God's, aren't they? If you ever come to Him, you won't belong to yourself. See, what's the alternative? I'm going to bring part of me into the kingdom of God, okay? Does that make sense? If I am infected with this disease, if you will, called sin, how in the world can I bring part of me into the kingdom of God and expect God to accept that and take me on to heaven with that? Man, He is going to have to find a way, one way or another, to put that to death. Now, I thank God this isn't a call to measure up to a legalistic standard. This is a call just to hand over our lives. You know, I thought of one scripture we use so many times and just one aspect of it. But are we not told, in light of everything that God has done for us through Christ, the promises, the provision, everything is so amazing. What is the result of that? Therefore, trying to remember the rest exactly how it starts from there. But the thought is that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. See, there may come a time when it'll be a sacrifice and our bodies will fall over dead because we've been killed for the faith, for the gospel. You know, sometimes I almost envy people that go that way. If you go suddenly, they kill you. Man, that is a one-way ticket out of this place. You don't have to get up and look at the news in the morning. You don't have to see what's going on and feel the pull of this world and feel the weight of what's going on in this place. That's victory, folks. But God has called us to be a living sacrifice. That is, there is a principle of death that is applied to us. There is a principle of dying, of laying down our lives every single day, and yet it's a living sacrifice in which we give ourselves to Him. There's that part of us that lives, that part of us that is put to death over time. Thank God. I just pray the Lord to help me with this. I hope this is the Lord. I hope. Yeah. Sometimes I know there's a part of me that wants to look for response. But there's a sober thought here, folks. We are in this time, the valley of decision. And there are people right in our midst, and people who will hear this, who are in a valley, and I pray that they are some that can hear this and recognize where they're at. This is not a light thing. This is not where you can go along and go to church and live your life. It's either his life or it's yours. There is no middle ground. It's 100%. How many times throughout history has the Lord challenged his people? When Joshua passed off the scene, who is on the Lord's side? I think that might have been Moses that said that, but choose you this day is what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And they had to make a choice, didn't they? And for a time they actually walked in that. Well, what happened? A generation passed off the scene. They intermarried with all the heathen people around, worshiped idols, and went right straight to rebelling against God. Folks, there are choices being made today that have eternal ramifications. How many know what happens when people persist in pushing the Lord aside, rationalizing their way around this thing that really is the idol that my heart worships? That's really the thing that's most important to me that I just won't give up. I can't lay that down. You cling to that long enough when the Lord comes calling, what happens? What happens? There comes a day when the Lord takes his hands off. How many of you think that you can come to the Lord when he stops helping you? We're saved by grace. Grace is the divine help that I need to believe and repent. That's central to it. Because I can't do that. I don't even have the motivation, the strength. I don't have anything that it takes to do that. I need God's influence upon my heart and his strength to do it. Now, he doesn't force me to do it, but he makes it possible for me to respond. And if I don't respond and I resist that, as Hebrews says, do despite to the grace of God, despise it, resist it, there comes a day when the Lord says, you've made your choice. The world is in that place. Not only is it in that place, how many of you know that the majority of the world has made its choice? The devil is, his objective in this hour is to unite the world against God. That's something he has not been able to do because God absolutely put a limit on him. Through the cross, there was a victory that was won. He has not been able to unite the nations of the world and absolutely drive the influence of God out of this world. He's not been able to do it. But there comes a period at the end where the Lord says, all right, I've spoken with the world. I've sent out the gospel. I've reached out to the hearts of people. Now you're all going to come into a valley and make your choice. And I'm going to let the devil loose to follow his dream. And of course, we know how that turns out. Just when it looks like he has won the ultimate victory, the Lord comes on the scene. Fire rains down. There is no victory that this devil can win. But I'll tell you, I pray for everybody that hears this. Think about some of the examples that we have in Scripture. I looked up 3 references this morning. I'm not going to look them up. I can tell you. But Paul had an associate whose name was Demas. How many of you remember Demas? 2 different letters. Paul is giving his greetings from people who are with him. Luke was one of them in both cases. And Demas was one of his fellow workers. Fellow worker of the Apostle Paul. But there was something down in Demas's heart that was the true idol, if you will, the true God over what he wanted to do. And so there came a time when Paul had to sadly say, Demas has forsaken me. Why did he do that? He loved this present world. There was a long time he was associate of Paul, went through so many things with him, labored with him on the outside, but inside there was a heart that had never surrendered. Praise God. I'm hoping that this will get across in two ways. This will get across the seriousness and the absoluteness of the gospel on the one hand, but it also will not discourage or make fearful a saint who has a tender conscience and looks at their own weaknesses and said, oh God, I must be one of those that's lost. God wants you to know that He has everything you need. Jesus Christ has given us, He is all that we need. Thank God. We're none of us saved based on our own ability, our own strength. It's all Him. But it has to be given to Him, doesn't it? You can't have something that you hold on to in your heart. Think of Judas. Up until the Last Supper, the disciples had no idea, the rest of them. They were all sent out to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to preach the coming kingdom, and there was Judas right among them. But there was one problem. He loved money. Very similar to the rich young ruler, isn't it? He was there when the rich young ruler was, you know, did what he did. I'll tell you, you can get your conscience so seared in a certain area if you're not careful. If we ever stop listening to God's voice in certain areas of our lives, we get to where we can't hear it anymore. But that, you know, that man loved money to the point where he was willing ultimately to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. My God, he realized what he'd done. He killed himself. But you think about the seriousness of this. You contrast that with a woman who was from Moab, one of the enemies of Israel, heathen worshipers. And you remember the story of how Naomi and her husband and their sons went over to Moab during, I guess it was a famine of some kind of problem. And the men married Moabite women. And the famine ended, and all three of the men died. So Naomi goes back, gets ready to go back to her native country. The girls love her, want to go with her. And so she says, please go back. You have no hope coming with me. I don't have a husband. If I had one, and I had sons, would you wait for them to grow? Go on back. And Orpah went back, didn't she? And it wasn't that she didn't love her, but there was something in the natural level that absolutely was more important to her than anything. But what happened with Ruth? Entreat me not to leave you, nor to follow after you. Where you go, I will go.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.